Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week, we discuss how banks can progressively modernize their customer journeys and model business operations around their customers. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by Backbase CEO and founder Jouk Pleiter and other senior banking leaders from around the globe. Ready to unpack how to re-architect banking together? Let's get started. Hi, everyone. It's Tim Rutten here. Thanks for tuning in to part two of our three-part conversation with Forrester's principal analyst, Ewart Smith. Last time, Jouk and I were chatting with him about the decline in banking customer experiences, so be sure to check out that episode if you haven't listened into it just yet. For this episode, we're going to continue and we're going to explore how digital transformation can help banks achieving operational excellence. Next time, we're going to deep dive into the global expansion of open finance. So see you next week already, but for now, enjoy the episode. Gentlemen, if it's all right, let's move to the next one, which is the one I picked at least, Ewart, if that's okay, one out of six. Optimize operational efficiency. I think that's also the one that's typically coming to mind very fast. If you move to digital, if you transform, you just become more effective, efficient. Now, lately with the AI wave, it's become even more apparent that there's a lot of opportunity in that space. Maybe you can introduce your viewpoint there and we take it from there.
Yeah, I think our thought was that, you know, large amounts of effort in the IT team is spent in managing, just sort of keeping the lights on of these large monolithic platforms. And even when they have certain capabilities that are built around the edges and they might have three or four or seven different cores and some of them are a little bit more modern than others, that mix of capabilities, all on premises, by the way, you know, tends to just bog everything down. And companies, banks around the world really are asking tech teams to dramatically make their operations more effective and more efficient, get the costs down. And it's hard for some of them to see how we're going to do that, given what we have to do on a daily basis, not to mention the fact that then when you get the request from the digital team or the marketing team or some other product team to do this to the system, to add this capability or to build some product feature or functionality. That's a huge undertaking in many of these systems that then has to be tested. And so these new platforms will allow you to be able to essentially do little pieces of work at a time, oftentimes much more effectively and efficiently. So you can make the change, have it tested and up on the platform, you know, in production, you know, within a matter of hours or even a day. Not a whole lot of time that businesses would have to spend to manage that. When they're out on the cloud, you're taking advantage of a huge capability of services that are available to you to plug into, to run. You don't have to build them. You don't have to operate them. You don't have to manage them. You don't have to keep them updated. Security is a huge one. You know, there's so many capabilities that are available that existing banks don't necessarily have with their existing, you know, that banks don't necessarily have with their existing infrastructure, which means I have to manage all kinds of new threat updates and threat actors and threat vectors. And Gen AI is posing a huge challenge to that. So that's one reason why many of these companies have pulled back on really opening that Pandora's box, because they don't have the ability to sort of, you know, track all those security issues. That can be done much more efficiently and effectively on the cloud through cloud services. And yes, there are challenges there, but that's why these zero trust security models and others are, you know, critical for in making sure that all that comes together in an appropriate way. Those kinds of capabilities maybe didn't even exist in 2019 in the way that they do now, you know, in the cloud. But this is a totally different environment. And to your point about what's going to look like in 5 years, it's going to be, you know, that much better in 5 years. So these are things that make it more efficient. And the cloud itself and the whole concept of, you know, containerized microservices and the serverless environment make for a much easier process for DevSecOps and that whole sort of ongoing management of things through these very effective and efficient CI/CD pipelines. So you can really dramatically cut your costs. And we've seen We've seen one company report that they went from something, I think they cut down more than 30% of their IT costs by making a move in one, and they isolated it to one domain. It's not a 100% change across the entire organization. But in that domain, the support costs dropped by 30% or something like that.
If you look at pure IT operation costs, like a lot of people find it hard to decommission systems. And if you don't decommission, you know, you probably don't have significant cost savings. So I guess there's always this cluster of quick cost savings or relatively easy where like, and that's people also will hunt for them and, you know, figure out like, okay, what can I do? But then like these newer platform capabilities, like to your point, microservice, DevOps, et cetera, like they are technology enablers, but in itself, they also will force the bank to basically re-architect their workflows or to make them intelligent. So in a way, it's not just, okay, I think there's the quick wins on the cost side, but then there's the wins that would require a proper re-architecting. So at the end of that re-architecting cycle of, let's say, 6 months or 12 months or 18 months, you can start to decommission massive amounts of legacy applications by the dozens. But that is a different lift. Would you agree, or what's your view on that?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And, you know, I think one of the challenges that we see is that banks say, I'm not going to get any savings from this. So I pay X, I've already built this system. It sits on my own on-prem system, which I've already built and pay for. The amount of ongoing operating costs of that is extremely low. And I'm going to replace it with something that's going to cost me something. You know, and it's a significant, so if I just look at those contract costs, as it were, I probably don't make any money, if not lose money, but it's in that operation of it. So all of a sudden, I don't have quite the level. I have tools, low code tools that are going to help my developers do things like build new products or even business people, the digital people. And that will go very efficiently and effectively. I'll be able to innovate more quickly. There's things that if you now have to start thinking about your ROI, you have to push the boundary of what that ROI is going to include. So I have to understand that I can go to market faster, which means I'll have new products in market faster, earning money. I have new ways of innovating. The process of managing products shifts. I need to take into account what's happening there, and all the way through the business. And it's not just this contract for, you know, core system engagement platform B versus what I'm paying today for my total cost of ownership of my, you know, already depreciated paid off system. And I don't think that most people really have that breadth of how to calculate the ROI in mind. But the reality is it's there, and it's been there from businesses like Blockbuster on, you know, and before. It's just you can't think narrowly about, you know, this total cost of ownership. You have to think about what it does to the business and what imperatives it allows you to drive that now create huge new opportunities for you that you didn't have, enabling you to fend off competitive threats. So that potential risk of loss of business as a result of not being flexible and not being capable, you have to add that in. There's all these components you have to start thinking about.
I think that we're now at the heart of the problem, right? Because I think everybody knows that we're not really customer centric, and everybody knows that, you know, we're just goofing around a little bit on the surface. But like, so you want to like, these are all very intelligent people and they're making rational decisions. But I guess then the switching costs from legacy and now the investments made in the past and lower cost of running them, getting into kind of the new operating model, it's the switching cost. Let's call switching cost is basically this mountain you need to climb to re-architect it on a single platform, et cetera. So I think we've been thinking about it. I would love to get your opinion, but like indeed one element, the low coding movement and the slicing and dicing, like the progressive slicing and dicing and low coding kind of basically also helps you with kind of doing that more agile, less dependency on IT people, et cetera. Combine that with, you know, this whole new agentic AI software development tool. I was recently looking at these tools like Cursor, a few more, like give it another 2 or 3 years, you will see intelligent automation at a very different scale. So that might be actually those two elements, low code and AI empowered software development could dramatically accelerate the modernization cycle.
Yep. Well, I totally agree with that. I think that's going to come. And I don't think you can take advantage of any of that until you've made some of these fundamental shifts and you've gotten in place some of those capabilities. Once you do, then that just opens up the door for all of this, this efficiency, this goodness that you're talking about. And it's going to, the pace of advancement is going to skyrocket for those companies that are already into that mode and taking advantage of these new capabilities for software development, for you know, systems integration, for plugging things together. They are going to outpace. Think about how fast Revolut, Nubank, and others have grown over the last just 5 years, as you were talking about. Think about if some of your banking competitors are moving at twice that speed or five times that speed, and you're not. You know, it's going to be very hard to stay competitive in that model. And that's coming very quickly, to your point. I don't think people realize how quickly that's coming. And it's a result of just this dramatic progress that people are making in generative AI, these models, agentic AI, and so on.
This could be changing the rules of the game in a very profound way, if I think about it, like how Gen AI will help you to accelerate progressive modernization. Like normally in the past, you always had this brute force labor component, and then specifically brute force labor in the context of an IT project. That's rarely a good combination. That typically means three times more of the cost, years of delay, and the end of your career, right? If I just paint it black and white a little bit ironically here, but like, let's see, like if you've got this cloud fabric in place, you've got all the infrastructure in place, you've got the unified AI data architecture in place, and now you can do low coding and AI-driven software development on that. I would love to see kind of the metrics, how quickly you can transform customer journeys with maybe 10% of the labor involved.
Well, I've already seen some companies that had used some firms that had built rudimentary early days capabilities to do the switch, as you were talking about. And it's really, you know, the keys to the switch seem, in my opinion, my observation seem to be the data itself and getting the data into a format that is useful in the new environment or the new platform, switching the products and the specific nature of products, the limits, the interest calculations, and so on, and who they are for, and all those capabilities that would go into that, and doing essentially the work of thinking through the different rules or the different workflows that you described. Because as you take your old monolithic system, it's the workflows, it's the products, it's the customer data and other data that's related to that, that has to just get moved into a new platform that's doing things differently, but needs those fundamental components. Generative AI can make that happen, you know, today, if built right. You know, it's just got to be checked and you've got tested, and there's a couple of years from now, it'll be able to do that with almost 100% accuracy and be able to run the whole tests automatically, give you reports, allow you to do, you know, so many tests on the different customer records and the different workflows and the different, you know, monitoring processes and so on, that you'll be able to make these changes very quickly.
Exactly to your point, I think it will absolutely help to decompose whatever you have from legacy mainframe, just figuring out like that code base, that underlying domain model, the process, just to kind of where normally people would not even be able to go in there. Like it will kind of truly decompose what's going on. And then from there, it could kind of generate suggestions about if you had to recompose or reassemble it, how would that domain model look like? What are the distinct business logic capabilities you need? And then if you've got a horizontal orchestration platform and an integration platform to the core and to the fintechs, like I can totally see how you can then, from decomposing the underlying design, you can start to reassemble it into a domain model, into a software design, and then you can start generating it. I've seen internal results here where we're now even analyzing our internal codes. You can really, it is so clear how I would say almost like how poor software development is as a craftsmanship, how many mistakes people make, or how difficult it is for a human being to actually create code and maintain code. And so human beings will never be able to compete against this. It's game over in that sense. But then we can orchestrate it. We can conduct it. That's a 10x productivity.
Yep. In that model, it's always been the case that it with technology, big dramatic technology changes, humans have sort of left behind the more mundane work and risen to a level of sort of orchestrating the system or tool or whatever it was that was doing that more mundane work. And now we're at a point where we're automating human decisioning. So we can leave behind those sort of more mundane decisions and allow the system to do that kind of thinking for us. And now we can do more strategic thinking and get back to these imperatives and really start driving the business forward and not have to spend nearly as much time, effort, cost, be much more efficient on every aspect of what we do. Just move forward into really thinking about how do we go to market? How do we engage more people? How do we get more people into our business? And those key questions, which is what every bank is, should be doing.
I think like there's a lot of talk about AI and the data and the impact it will make on, let's say, directly personalization, next best action, all very valid. I think also AI will do a lot of stuff in employee productivity, like scanning documents, etc. So everything for the relationship manager, the loan officer. But I think the developer productivity, especially if you look at kind of the amount of legacy we have accumulated over the last 50 years and how impossible it is to basically replace that, the switching cost. This could be the tipping point. Let's see. We reconnect in 4 years from now, Jort, and then compare notes.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the beauty of these predictions, is that you can look back on them and see if you were right. I think a lot of these are going to be right, though. I mean, I know, we might be off by a year or two, but I don't think we're off on the concept.
Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow both Jauke and myself on LinkedIn, where we will be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.